Hello everyone and welcome to the Constructive Criticism Network. This network is here to help you improve at Magic the Gathering at every level. From Pauper Leagues to Top 1000 Mythic, we've got you covered. If you want to hear the entire network, head on over to our sponsor at PureMTGO.com, where you can hear each and every show, each and every week, and check out their sponsor, MTGO Traders, and tell them that the CCMTG Network sent you. Now sit back, enjoy the show. From YouTube, podcasts, and more, here's this week's episode from ConstructedCriticism.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 324th episode of Constructed Criticism. I'm your host, Mason. I'm joined each and every week by my co-host, Allie. Allie, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Okay? That's where we're at right now?
Yeah, it's rainy out, so I don't know. I get, like, in a weird mood when it's rainy, but I'll be fine.
Sure, that's fair. Yeah, you know, sometimes it gets like that. Out here, it's supposed to rain in, like, a couple hours, so maybe I'm just, you know, lagging behind a bit.
Yeah. Huge storm going from Wisconsin to Tennessee.
Yeah, just, you know, that weird straight down to the right angle. You know, the casual. That's how most storms travel, really.
Yeah.
I see it all the time on the green screens. They just, you know, they had the pointer and they point all the way down. Well, I'm glad to hear things are going well. How was your weekend before we move on, you know? Did you get to do anything exciting, anything fun like that?
I played another weekend championship. I was playing Jeskai Fires, probably just, like, one of the best decks in Standard right now. Obviously, we're not, like, digging too deep into Standard today, but...
It changed a bunch, by the way, from last week when we were like, we hope it changed.
Yeah. Surprise, it changed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I went 5-3. I lost the last round to miss Day 2 on Breakers because a bunch of people decided to ID into Day 2, which makes no sense to me, but, like, hey, whatever. Take your 100 tax dollars and buy yourself an ice cream cone.
Yeah, it is interesting. So I haven't played in any of these, like, qualifiers or anything yet, but every stream I watch, people always talk about, like, the last round, everyone's trying to figure out if they can ID into the last round. I don't know, it's just kind of, it's weird. It feels like if you could get in at X2-1, X3 is probably safe, and you're in a better position for top 8. I guess different goals, different people, so it's, you know, not exactly.
Yeah, I don't want to like be awful and like judge people for like making their goals. So I'm gonna try not to do that. But at the same time, it's
almost in your best interest not to draw, right? Like if that's a thing, then like, I mean, that is some advice that, you know, we could give. It's like, hey, you know, if your goal is to do more than Day 2, it's like maybe the top 32 or top 16, one of those things, which is a huge accomplishment. You know, not being X2-1 that early in the event is probably good, because otherwise you're looking at basically running it off for the rest of the day in Day 2, and your Day 2 competition is going to be much steeper. So
yeah, I think what was it, both Siggy and Andrei Strosky both drew into Day 2, and then I think they missed top 32, which qualifies you for the finals. They were like 33rd and 34th.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yikes. So. Ugh, you hate to hear that. Yeah, I see everyone makes mistakes. Everybody has those days. Hannah Montana, 2008. Words I live by. Well, you know, Hannah Montana gave us that always improving line right there. Let's talk about always improving this week, and I'll take the lead since it kind of correlates to what we're talking about, the weekend championship there with Fires. I just kind of, you know, bit the bullet, took the pill, whatever you want to say, and I just, like, played Fires to the challenge event. And just kind of accepted, like, hey, I'm going to play, like, what's the perceived best deck. I'm going to copy our teammate Matt Dilks' deck that he got rank one Mythic with, sorry. And I just crushed it. That was just free money. Those challenges were great. But that's not the whole – the always free moment is when you're kind of not sure, everyone's kind of telling you to do this thing, and you don't really like doing this thing, you should at least give it a chance. And so kind of, you know, being like, fine, I'll play the boring Fires deck. And I played it a bunch this weekend, so that's my always improving moment.
Fires is a good deck. Keep rediscovering that Fires and Bant are just the best decks every week.
Yeah, they really... We all really do. It's interesting, too, because when I was playing it, I was like, dang, this is kind of a bad matchup. And I was like, well, actually, if I go, like, Teferi, Fires, double Cavalier, and then I draw another Cavalier after that, I could probably win. And I did that, and I beat them. And I was like, well, I guess this deck probably just has game against everything. And then, like, lots of times for the weekend, I was like, I probably can't win. Well, actually, if I play Kenrith and draw a Cavalier off that, a shock this landed, that's Xaxxes. And then, like, you know, that kind of thing would happen. I was like, oh, yeah, this deck's kind of great. Just always has game. It's so wild. I don't know.
Kenrith is great.
Yeah, that it's. I don't want to get any sort of conversation too much started on this, but it is low key frustrating to know that like fires in Kenrith is a thing I have to deal with for the next year and some change. And luckily the Cavaliers rotate soon, but I don't know if I could handle this deck if it had Cavaliers like in Throne of Eldraine, for example. I don't think I could handle it. It'd be too much for my heart.
What set is Kenrith in?
It's Throne of Eldraine's box topper, so it will be with us for the next year and some change. Yes, he's the elk that Oko is making. I don't know how big you are in the lore, but that's Kenrith.
I've been meaning to get into lore more, but
it's pretty interesting. Also, sometimes they miss this last episode. Whew, yikes! But you know, it's pretty fun. So, Allie, what was your always improving moment this week?
I mean, this isn't going to sound like very big or anything, but I guess I'll tell the story first and then what I learned from it, I suppose. Emma Handy recently like put a clip on Twitter of some, like, she was streaming, she attacked with a questing beast, I think, and the opponent like
yes
made what you know what I'm talking about, what was the full thing?
I saw it on the top five. So Emma attacked with a questing beast and some other creature, and the opponent sacrifices the Alcyeds. They had, like, two or three in play to give their creatures protection from, like, green and whatever other color in order to make their creatures, like, live in combat. But Questing Beast prevents damage from being prevented. It says no to your no, and protection is preventing damage.
Yeah. So, I think she, like, captioned the tweet of something like, I love teaching people the rules or something. Mm-hmm. Like that. So I just like sat there for a long time just trying to figure out what had happened, because like upon like first looks I'm like, I have no idea what happened or like why things happened. So I mean, I just like sat there for a while and kept watching it until like I was like, oh, Questing Beast has more text, and like figured that out. And I think so, like, what I learned from that is I think I'm way too quick to just, like, if I don't see something, just, like, jump to the comments or ask, like, well, what is this, like, et cetera, instead of just trying to, like, figure it out for myself, which I don't think there's anything bad in asking, but just, like, giving yourself the time to, like, sit and think just kind of, like, flexes those, like, brain muscles. You don't have...
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, no, I love what you're saying here. I think it's great. It's a thing, too, where it's, like, you're not costing yourself anything by trying to figure it out, right? If you figure it out and you're wrong, it's a learning moment and you can figure out where you went wrong. And if you figure it out, then you're practicing those skills, and then you have someone to double check your work in the comments. You know, it's a great opportunity. In fact, I think people cheat themselves too much where they're like, okay, what's going on here? What should I be doing? And we see that in like, I only want the cyborg guide. I don't want to know about like the matchups and stuff like that, you know? So,
yeah. So, yeah. I mean, like, if I just go into that, I'm more likely to, like, even if this is something that, like, was completely new and foreign to me, I'm like, oh, cool, in the comments, like, this is what happens with Questing Beast. Like, sure, but I'm more likely to actually remember if I take the time to, like, sit there, process what's happening, think about it, and, like, then in the future I'll be like, oh, I remember that really, like, long time that I had just trying to figure out what happened here. I'm not going to mess this up in the future.
Yeah, yeah, right? It's a great, a lot of times it feels like something has to happen to you once to remember it, and now you get to have that experience from them. So it's a great,
yeah.
It's a great learning moment for them. Yeah, the protection Questing Beast thing is a little funny if you didn't know like the exact wording, right? On protection. It's kind of an awkward thing for sure. Well, I think that's a great one. You know, it's like I mentioned before, I think that's something that people should do more often. I used to like watch it when I was first starting to like grind Magic and stuff like that. I would watch YouTube videos of people like Reed Duke or, you know, whoever it was playing their match, and I would pause the video and I would think about what I would do and like what was going on, what I was kind of thinking about, then like unpause and like listen to like what they were saying and stuff like that, and kind of like play along to kind of get the idea of like what are they thinking about. And that's kind of a very similar example, you know, of like just taking the time to try and figure this stuff out, and then you have someone to tell you it, and you can kind of like, you know, restructure your thinking or figure out, okay, this is the kind of thing I need to continue doing.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Well, if you want to support the show, you go to our sponsor at Oasis Games. You can use code Would That Be Good for 15% off your first order and code CCMTG for 4% off all your orders. They have a really wide selection. Every time I ever need something, they always have it in stock. And they have multiple languages and stuff like that. So if you like to have the cool cards, you know, you can go there and they have those easily available to you. And you get a nice little discount. And another way to support the show is patreon.com/CCMTG. You get benefits like if you become a new patron, you get your name shout out on the show like Allison Berryhill. Thank you, Allison. And you also get to ask Patreon questions like this one. This question was, what do we think about the future events for stuff like SCG? We've seen that GPs have moved to an online model and NRG is now doing events without coverage. So what do we think about SCGs and stuff like that? You know, there's like the mock series, I believe, in Europe and stuff like that. So, Allie, what do you think is going to happen? Because the COVID thing is kind of changing everything for the foreseeable future, like long, like years potentially.
Yeah, I mean, I'm honestly surprised that SCG hasn't worked something out already anyway. Like, I mean, us, like, starting out as like SCG grinders, we obviously gravitated towards the SCG circuit because they really know how to like brand their players and like bring a big following, like make viewers care about the people they're watching. So, I mean, that was like a whole draw to playing SCGs. And I mean, like their commentators are phenomenal already. And I don't know. It just seems like I expected them to kind of follow suit after, like, CFB started doing Magic Fest Online. And then NRG is also doing some online things. So I guess just, like, generally surprised that there hasn't been something yet. Not to say that there won't be in the future, but,
yeah. Yeah, at the time of this recording, we don't have any word from them at all, except for, like, I think technically SCG Louisville is still on in like 3 weeks. Like, I don't think they've canceled it yet on their website. Like, they have gone radio silent on that front.
Didn't they not cancel Philly either? Isn't that soon?
Oh yeah, I think they only canceled up through Indy, which would have been this last weekend.
Oh, actually, yeah, Louisville is May 23rd, which, like, I guess, like, maybe. probably not, but I mean.
Sorry. Keep talking.
And like Philly is the week after that. I mean, like currently a lot of the states are lifting their stay-at-home orders, like, or attempting to, for like beginning of May or end of May. I know Wisconsin is currently, I think, May 30th, but I don't know.
I can't imagine attendance would be good, and even with someone so close to the event. My thinking would be, even if I did everything right, the people who are also willing to travel for this are degenerates in one way or another. And one part of those degenerates I love, you know, they're my family. And the other part, I don't want to be around during a pandemic. So I'm like, you know, not really about the whole SCG event for the rest of the year in person. It is shocking, though, right, that they haven't made a move to online, like, at all. Like, they haven't said, like, we're going to announce things for the future, where we're looking to do it like this. It's just really weird. I wouldn't love it. But, like, even if all the events are only Arena, right, and they just did it, like, through MPG Melee, like, you did qualifiers like GPs, you could still have your leaderboard thing matter, and you could do your point race, and you could do your shows. And sure, they're not as good as they were before, right? And, like, it's not quite the same, but, like, just give a buy or just give free entry to everyone that's on your leaderboard for the top 100 and then have everyone else battle it out and then incentivize people to stream by covering their matches. And then there you go. It's just weird. I don't know. I assume we are like the 2020 season is canceled. That's kind of like, I don't expect it to start back up in the fall. It might, but that would be such a weird players tour race. You know, it's just kind of bizarre. Like, I don't even know if people could catch the people who are in the top 16.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the SCG season. I mean, yeah. I could see, like, GPs returning, maybe in October, but...
Yeah, they're not tied to such a, like, a year-longish thing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Like, that probably, like, impacts rivals MPL season to some extent, which like might need to change again. But I mean, like people just like having like a GP
sure
might be a thing again in October.
Yeah, I want to live in the world where it's safe to do that, so I'm hopeful. Well, I hope that answered their question. It's kind of a, it's a hard thing to talk about, right? Like, it's like, we don't really know, and it all kind of matters on how everyone else is kind of doing at that point. You know, like, if everything was perfect, we could probably consider it definitely by October. But, you know, it's a hard one. So, hopefully, you know, you got your patronage dollars out of that. And hopefully, SCG was listening, and they can start, you know, doing their online events or whatever. But now there's, like, the Lewis Box Event 2 thing, right? Like, they have their own little championship going on. So, it's wild. I don't know. Crazy, crazy times. Well, once again, if you want to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg. Get your question read on the show. Hear our thoughts on it. Can be anything. It doesn't have to be super Magic related, you know. We normally kind of prefer to pick those. But if you have something that's kind of more about us, maybe, then we'd be happy to answer that too. Allie, today our main topic is talking about dealing with tilt in events. For the people that haven't been lucky enough that I experienced tilt, and I'm using this kind of slang, what does tilt mean?
I mean, like, tilt, I guess in my mind, is frustration, I suppose, but specifically with, like, what's happening in-game or surrounding the game, what happened in the game. It's kind of, like, any... I think, like, more than frustration, though, where, like, if I say that, like, I'm tilted, that would be, like, something frustrated me or upset me that then impacted either, like, the game I was playing, or I think it's going to impact my future games because now I'm, like, grumpy and upset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think of when I think of tilt.
Yeah, I'm getting, like, emotionally charged is kind of, like, how I normally... relate to tilt, right? Like, this thing's happened and it's getting the better of me in some way, where it's like bothering me in a way that's getting me kind of worked up, you know. And so today we're gonna kind of talk about dealing with that in events and managing it. It's something that, you know, we've talked about in the past, but it's something that I think is super important, and there's always, you know, new listeners and stuff like that. And as we're gonna mention, we're in a new world when it comes to these things, so there's gonna be some new talking points here. But Allie, I think we should just kind of hop into it. When you're in a game, you know, you're playing a match, whatever, at an SCG or at a Magic Fest online, how do you handle the tilt when it's in-game?
I mean, like, I think we all experience some amount of frustration, annoyance, like, during the game. I'm probably actually pretty bad about, not so much tilting, but when something... like spirals out of control, or like mostly like when I'm having a very like unfun game, like my opponent is just like destroying me and I had no chance, like I'll kind of sit there and like look down, like I guess kind of just like look annoyed, but I'll still try and be like really polite to my opponent because I don't want to be like that person.
Mm-hmm.
To make it kind of, like, not affect my game or, like, previous post-boarding games, like, I don't know. I try and push it out of my head as much as possible, like, especially, like, during sideboarding, like, there's a bunch of things you can do to kind of just, like, take a breath, I don't know, like, count your cards, do something to, like...
Breathe,
relax, like, make sure you sideboarded out all your cards, like, shuffle a little longer, just, like, take a moment to yourself and just try and focus on the actual games coming up instead of, like, worrying about what happened in that last game. And, like, don't put the pressure on yourself also to be like, oh, I'm down a game now and I'm super tilted, so, because then you're probably going to lose one of the next two games as well.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're worrying about that, then it's going to be much harder to focus on the incredibly complex game we play. It's going to be a lot harder.
Yeah, the game's already hard. Like, you don't have to make it harder on yourself.
Yeah, one of the things that I always told a friend of mine who would get really upset in games is, you know, you made that mistake where that this thing has happened and you're frustrated and tilted now, and you have the rest of your life to beat yourself up on that. But you only have about 35 to 45 minutes left to finish your match of Magic. So you got to focus on this for the moment. And it can be kind of hard to, like, you know, kind of push your emotions aside in the moment. I definitely know that I will get, like, personally, I kind of, similar to you, where I'll push it aside. And I will get more engaged and hyped up and amped up as a way to, like, kind of overcompensate for the frustration. So that's one thing that I kind of do, like, in the game to do that. And I also, like I mentioned when you were saying sideboarding, you know, just taking a second to breathe, you know, just doing your kind of thing. If you're at an event, you can always, you know, if you're really upset, you can yell for a judge and go to the bathroom. That's something to do. With the COVID situation, you know, you can go to your bathroom, but you won't have that extended time. But yeah, it's something that's definitely hard to handle, especially like if it's like a gameplay error. I don't know so much about you, but like, I know a lot of people really struggle when they make a mistake that costs them the game or puts them significantly far behind. Is that something that you struggle with, Allie?
I mean, like, yeah, like, situations can definitely, like, spiral out of control. I know, like, there's unfortunately, actually, I don't know if they ever put it in a VOD, but I was on a backup feature match, and just, like, I was playing really poorly, and I knew I was playing poorly, and instead of just, like, shaking that off, I just, like, continued to, like, spiral into, like, really bad plays because I was so annoyed. And, I mean, like, yeah, like, once you kind of realize that, like, I guess once you find a way that's effective for you in, like, pushing that away, you just have, like, more of a chance to actually still be in the game and not have it affect you. And I will, like, have the other disclaimer of, like, I'm a counselor, so I'm not advocating you, like, literally pushing aside your feelings. It's more like, wait until after the match, and then you can, like, acknowledge and process your feelings. Or if it's, like, or if you really can't, like, do what Mason said and, like, call for a judge, go to the bathroom and, like, do something. Because there's a ton of things you can do. Like, when I get angry, I cry. And I don't want to just, like, cry at my opponent because then they're going to think I'm, like, a sore loser or, like, sad. I'm, like, I'm not sad. I'm upset at myself because I made a bad play and that makes me mad. But, so, like, being able to, like, push that away until, like, you can go to the bathroom. Or, like, you can go up to your friends after and be like, y'all, I really messed up. And just kind of talk that out and process it healthily. Like,
yeah, when we say push it aside, we don't mean bottle up your feelings and never work through them or talk about it or anything like that. I'm glad you made that clarification because sometimes, you know, as we all know, something's clear to us, so that doesn't always get us across easily. So I'm glad you mentioned that, yes. Do not just bottle your emotions and push them in the corner of you forever. That is not it, Chief.
Because emotions are valid, and you being pissed off because your opponent played 4 frilled mystics, like, every turn for the rest of the game, like, yeah, that's probably really annoying, but you also don't want to be a jerk to your opponent, so.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure they feel awkward about the situation, too. And they're just like, I drew another frilled mystic? Like, you know, look at their cards. Did I register 5 of these? What's going on? You know?
Oh, I always feel so bad, like, especially when I have, like, a good, like, rapport with my opponent, like, going into the game, when it's, like, very clearly, like, either they messed up or like, it's been a non-game. And I'm just, like, flattening them and they have, like, they're like, bricking on land or something. Like, I always feel, like, awkward of like, hey, like, I don't know, this is like really awkward and like I feel bad for you, but this is also just like the reality of Magic, I guess. Like, it, like, a lot of things are outside of our control. Like, I think everyone has flooded out in a game of Magic before in their life.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's just something that you kind of accept, right? Like, you went to the Magic tournament, you signed up for it, and you just acknowledge that there is a real chance that a game or a match is not, it's going to be out of my control. You know, I can only do so much, and I'm just going to draw 10 or 11 lands out of the 14 cards I draw, you know?
Yeah. So, like, I'm sorry, I'm kind of, like, no, going off here.
No, it's
like,
good.
I also just want to, like, acknowledge that, like, I think a lot of tilt comes from things that we perceive to be outside of our control. So, like, yeah, like, some things do happen. Like, I was talking about, like, flooding does happen. That can be tilting. And we still need to, like, work through that to prevent that from affecting our future games when, say, we're not flooding out. But there are also things, like, within our control. And I feel like that's something that I've learned when I've been getting better at Magic is, like, if I can identify something I did wrong or something I can learn from, I'm less likely to tilt off. Like, I only really tilt when, like, something is outside of my control. So if I think of, like, ways to be like, oh, this is happening, but this was actually in my control. Like, I could have mulliganed, or I could have sideboarded differently. I could have taken this line instead of this line. Like, that at least helps me kind of not tilt off, because then it's like something I can do and it's not something outside of my control, I suppose.
Yeah, no, I definitely get what you're saying there. It's something too with me where if, like, for example, let's say I mulligan to five and I keep like a fine five, right, and I draw 10 lands in a row, right, that doesn't really affect me because it's like, oh well, I did everything I could, right? Like, I mulliganed, I did the right stuff, and then, you know, I scryed a bunch of lands to the bottom and drew a bunch more lands, you know? It happens in my 25-land deck sometimes, whatever. You know, that doesn't affect me. But, like, what you said, where it's like, oh, I could have waited to pop my clue to play around their thought season. Ugh, I just lost that piece I needed, you know? Like, I could have wasted that mana to do this thing. It was just stuff like that, right? That's what gets me more. It's kind of like, It's a harsh thing to say to myself, but kind of like unacceptable mistakes at times where it's like, oh, this is so obvious. You shouldn't see it like that. That's what gets me. So it's always interesting for me to like hear what affects other people, because I definitely know there are people out there who, you know, do struggle with they did everything right, but they just drew 10 lands and there's nothing they can do. It's hard for me to say because it's like their feelings are valid and the way they're processing it is valid. But also to me, it's just so foreign. It's like you did everything you could, you know, like you played the game, you drew your cards, you know, and you just literally had zero chance. It's not like you could have done some weird line or done something sequence better, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, I definitely agree with your point there about tilting and whatnot. Allie, what do you do post-game to handle it, though? We kind of talked about some stuff, like, in the game and how it's so important. And also, mind you, it's a huge edge, right? Like, if you're playing a match of Magic and your opponent's tilting because they made a mistake and you also made a huge mistake, but you're not being upset about it during the match, that's a huge advantage, right? Like we talked about before, where the game's really hard, you have to focus on stuff. How many times have you played a game, Allie, where your opponent got really upset and they made more mistakes because they were upset? Is it A, countless, yeah, or B, uncountable?
I mean, definitely a lot. Like, I think it's honestly really rare for me to think that I played a game 100% perfectly. So, like, I'm going to mess up. And, like, a lot of the time I catch it, I'm like, oh, dang, like, why did I do that? That was silly. And then, like, I'll see some of my opponents do, like, make either a similar mistake or just like a completely different mistake and then see it affect them. And then I get a little annoyed because they always blame it on like, oh, like, I don't know, like something like, oh, I would have won if I like would have remembered this. I'm like, okay, well, like maybe I would have won if I had remembered this, but I didn't let it affect me.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. The letting it affect you thing is huge, and also, you know, accepting that you're never going to play, like, you know, a perfect game of Magic, etc. Those are huge things, for sure. That's so frustrating, though, right? Before we move on, like, when they're like, God, I would have won if I had done this. It's like, yes, if you had played better, you would have had a better outcome, potentially. I agree. Like, I don't know what to tell you right now. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, I guess here's a tip for anyone who's listening who does get tilted, don't tell your opponent that you would have won or like what you would have done if X, Y, and Z, because like unless you're like really hitting it off with your opponent and they're like enjoying the conversation, it's just really awkward and uncomfortable, especially when they can see you're tilted.
Yeah, and if they say something like, God, that sucks that you accidentally sequenced that thing wrong, right? Like that's an example of them opening the door to give you a chance to vent, right? And that's like fine. But, you know, if they're trying to say good game and have a great rest of your weekend as they get up and you're like, God bless it if I just moved my Arcbound Ravager tokens, you know, or whatever. Yeah, but sorry. So let's go back to kind of what's happening. So, you know, we've dealt with it the best we can, but it's still kind of bothering us, and we're post-match now. You know, we've got our 15 minutes at Magic Fest Online, or our hour and a half of Reddit GP before the next round starts. How do we process this? How do we, like, what's something that you do to help with this situation?
I mean, like, I like to think I'm okay at regulating my emotions, at least after a match, but sometimes I'm really not. Like, sometimes, like, a loss really gets to me. And when that does happen, like, I think the best thing for me is to talk to people I really care about. I know that Harlan has been a big support to me, as like our team captain, and
mom. He's our mom.
Yeah, he's our team mom. And just like, I don't know, obviously, like, Harlan is one of the best players I know, like, personally, and communicate with a lot. So just kind of like being able to talk to someone who is a really good player, who like definitely understands it, and someone who's just kind of like happy-go-lucky all the time. I don't think I've ever seen that man tilt off in my life. So just like being able to be like, hey, like, this is what happened, and talk through like what happened, like maybe make it a learning experience if it was something that you could have changed, like if it wasn't, just kind of like get that like validation and reassurance that like, yeah, like that freaking sucks that you drew all the lands in your deck. And then like just kind of be like also like understanding that like other that happens to other people too, like having like close friends that are willing to listen to your bad beat stories.
Or you can go to twitch.tv/mythicmebo and, you know, cash in your channel points to get your bad beat story read. Both work, right?
Pay me like $50, I'll listen to your bad beat story.
Dang, $50. You can have a $25 patron, I'll listen to your bad beat story on repeat. Undercutting you on the market here. No, yeah, I love that though. I think that's great to have, like, you know, just kind of talking it out and processing it, kind of like you mentioned earlier. I think that's great. One thing that I'll typically do is I'll kind of just go for a walk around the venue, or I've definitely on a Magic Online event, I once like was really frustrated and was really upset, and I like finished my round and I had like 35 minutes left, and I went on this like a little walk around my neighborhood. Like, I just needed to, like, get out and, like, get away from it all for just a bit. And so...
Okay, if I'm super pissed off, I'll just, like, put in my headphones and, like, leave the convention center or, like, leave wherever I am and go on a walk.
Yeah. Yeah, just, like, get some time to get away from it all and think about it and work through it. I think it's huge. I get hangry a lot. Like, if my blood sugar gets low, I get really, really mad. Like, I don't know if we've hung out enough, but the difference between me at like round 9 and me when we get bread at the dinner table is just huge. It's like night and day. It's like, I'm so angry. So sometimes I have to like check myself, like, wait, am I actually like frustrated at this, or do I need to like eat a Clif Bar or something? So that's one thing that I do, is I'll take a minute to, you know, eat the bar, talk to the friends. Like, another thing to like get your mind off it, if like, you know, if you're really fixating on it, play a game of Love Letter with your friends, or, you know, play a match, or do some mental magic, or just something like that, just to get your mind off what's going on, would be kind of examples I have of helping with post game tilt. In the new COVID world, I pull up Netflix sometimes, like like at the Lotus Box event last weekend or 2 weekends ago now, I was like just watching a TV show between rounds, just like, oh, like, you know, new pairing popped up through my ears, it's like cool, and I muted, you know, so just stuff like that.
I'm not someone who gets, like, really angry, but I do think it is important to, like, also, like, validate anger if it's expressed in a healthy way. I think that's something, like, if you can wait till after the match, like, go outside in, like, a private-ish area and just, like, scream. Like, that, where were we? I think we were, like, SCG Louisville, and... this guy just like walked outside after his match, and like you could hear him scream outside, and he like came back in and he looked all calm. I'm like, you know what, props to you. Yeah. Like, you're not taking it out on anyone, you're obviously frustrated, but you are expressing anger in a healthy way, because you're actually expressing it, but you're not harming people, and you're not for the most part, I guess, making others uncomfortable. Maybe people that hear you, like, are assuming things about you, but like that's why you go like somewhere like away from other people.
Yeah, you've like you've done your best to remove yourself from the situation. If the little girl comes around the corner with her ice cream cone, that's some bad beats for her. But you know, besides that, everything, you know, you did what you did. I think that is that's important. You know, anger is like a real and valid emotion, something that people definitely feel, and it's also I really hate, and this is kind of a going off thing here, but I really hate when people say it's just a game or just a thing. Don't get upset about this. And it's like, well, I respect that maybe for you this is just a thing, or from the outside looking in this is just a thing. But it's something that like I spend a lot of time on, I am invested in, and it's a big part of my life. And if painting was a big part of your life and your painting fell on the floor and like, you know, like got hit by a stick and there was a big hole in it, I would be okay if you felt angry about it. And that's what just happened to my tournament experience. So I would like if you felt okay with me being angry about something. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of like that kind of thing comes up when there are unhealthy displays of anger, like mm-hmm. taking it out on your opponent, like getting aggressive or like verbal aggression, anything like around people. I think that's what brings up kind of that like negative connotation around expressing your anger, because like obviously like that's just like unhealthy. You're making people uncomfortable, you're like being mean to people or like whatever is going on, but like I don't know, like it's reasonable to be upset that something you've put a lot of your life into didn't go the way you planned, and you can deal with that as long as you're healthily processing these emotions. Like I'm fine if you're angry that I drew
casualties of war.
I drew casualties of war in modern and you're playing Tron and I somehow didn't die before I cast it. So I don't know.
That's so funny, man. I'm just imagining you'd be like, blow up your star and your tower.
And your car.
And your car and I'll attack for like, 6 was my time of life, I guess. I don't know. Good thing I didn't flip this to Bob. so funny. Yeah, that, you know, yeah, it's definitely, I hope no one get the idea or thinks that we are pro, like, lashing out at our opponents. That is definitely not it in any form or fashion.
No, absolutely not. That is completely unacceptable, but I would not be doing my duty as a counselor if I completely wrote off anger as a valid emotion.
Yeah, it's just like, it's a complex thing to talk about. We have to talk about healthy ways of expressing it and, you know, dealing with it. So, well, Allie, now comes the kind of awkward part of the show where we have to acknowledge that, you know, like we talked about, maybe if we're lucky October, maybe not till spring of next year, who knows, but we're going to be playing tournaments and things like that in a COVID world, you know, in our from our homes and stuff like that. And what have there been some different things with you? Because I know you've played like a bunch of you top 8-1 Magic Fest online. You've played in 2 or 3 of the other ones. You know, you've played the Lotus Box event thing. And I've played some of those too. What do you feel about, like, have there been new things and new ways to handle that might be helpful for listeners?
I think in general, at least like with streaming that I've noticed, which I think is actually like a great inclusion to Magic, is a lot of people have been expressing their emotions, probably because they're not sitting across from their opponent. Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know, like when I top eighted, like I was very excited, I cried, like whatever. And I think like obviously that's a different emotion than tilt, but I think bringing emotions into Magic isn't necessarily a bad thing. I think there's a lot of room for, like, I don't know, like I want to live in a world where like someone loses their win in it and them crying at the table is not taboo. Like that sucks. Like, people should be free to express that emotion as long as they're not hurting other people, or I guess themselves. And people should also be able to, like, jump out of their chair and cheer that they just top aided. But, like, that's taboo right now. So maybe looking after, like, all this is over, because I've noticed that's changed a lot just with, like, these streaming events, because you're not sitting across from your opponent. Maybe that changes when we get to play Magic again.
Yeah, I hope so too, because I'm with you. I think it's kind of malarkey that, like, it's like you know, wrong for my opponent to be sad that they just lost their thing, and it's also wrong that I should be happy that, you know, I like did this thing, or I like, you know, I won this hard game, or etc. It's I am definitely not happy with the way that Magic players have decided it is okay for us to express our emotions and like this kind of social contract we're all in right now. I'm not a huge fan of it. And I haven't been for a while, so I'm really hopeful.
I should be able to shake my opponent's hand while, like, sobbing and not have that mean that I'm a bad sport or something. Because, like, obviously, like, I'm being a good sport.
Yeah, and I should be allowed to say good game when I won and it not be rude. Like, if I had a good game with someone and I felt like I had a great time, I want to express that to them, I should be allowed to say that I had a great time that round, even if they lost, right? And yeah. Now I feel like I'm only allowed to say that when I lose. It's like I lost, and it's like, you know, now I'm like messaging my MTG Melee. I'm like, that was a great round. Oh my, I had so much fun. Da, 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 da. And I like have similar experiences when I'm, you know, in grounds I win, but I just like can only talk to stream about it. You know, I can't talk about like, oh, that was a crazy game. You got me so good at this thing, you know, or et cetera, et cetera. Or do you think I could have learned from this thing? And so.
Yeah. So that's kind of like some of the positives I hope transfer back to Paper Magic after that. I think maybe some of the negatives is that, like, kind of on the same note of like, if you're, even if you're like not streaming, if you're just like playing on Modo, like, and you tilt off, you're kind of free to just like start screaming and swearing at your computer because no one's around to watch you do that. Where if you do that in real life, you're probably DQ'd. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a huge difference, right? Like, you hear about other esports and stuff like that. Like, that's very common to have a lot of players act that way, you know, and it's not something that you see a whole lot of in Magic. And I think that's a big part of that is because, like, our game came up being person to person, you know? And so it is interesting to see how that happens. And I hope we don't pick up that trend because I think that is, that's a yikes too. That's, you know.
Yeah. I think there's just like a line that isn't even that like hard to define of just like, but still like emotions are good and people should express them without like being malicious or hurting someone else. I don't think that's that difficult to do. So yeah, I think just like being able to like cheer when you win your win it in, or like, so we're not shaking hands anymore because it's disgusting, but like I could still like look to my opponent and be like, you know what, that was a really good game, with like tears coming down my face because I lost a win in and that mattered to me. Like, for some people, like a win in or even like day two or anything, but like that's what matters to them. And so I don't know, like, you're that close to your goal.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Gonna be upsetting if you're that close and you miss. Like, let people express their emotions, whether they're positive or negative, as long as they do not harm themselves or others.
Yeah, I mean, when we top aided the SCG with Teresa, I popped off and then I ran to the bathroom because I had to go so bad. I didn't get to wait for that round to end. But I, like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with being happy. It's not like, you know, I just, like, told them to get dunked on, whatever, and I ran off, you know. I was just like, we did it. Shaker, and like, I have to go, I'll be back in 10, you know, like, room. And so yeah, it's definitely it's a wild experience. I would
think
say
it's like a mix of like just this idea of being stoic in Magic, because like a lot of people like top eight multiple events, and I'm sure like when you get to that point, like some of the SCG grinders literally top eight in like almost every event they go to, so like that's just the norm for them. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like they're not going to like necessarily jump out of their seats when they top eight another one, so they just like, there's this like stoicism around them, I guess. So like anyone who hasn't gotten there, who like finally does get there, it just like feels like it would be taboo to do something to like to react differently than what most people.
Yeah, it's almost like this elitist culture, right? It's like, wow, you're getting excited about this, or like it's been accepted that like that's what happens because that's what pros do, because they have chosen to play the game in the past in such a manner that is stoic, which is fine. Like, if you want to be a stoic player, that's just as valid as us wanting to pop off or be sad. Like, that's totally fine. But it also should be like, okay, you've done your thing, we're allowed to do our thing, you know? And so, I don't know.
When you win, you're winning into top eight. React however you want, within reason.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, if you want to de-sideboard, you can get ready to do that. If you want to, you know, jump up and, like, go hug your friends or whatever, do that, you know? Just, it's fine. It's totally fine to do that. One thing I would say about dealing with tilt from at home, you kind of mentioned how it's very easy to, like, it's very easy to forget your opponent is a person, right? Like, you're staring in front of the computer screen, you're looking at the battlefield. If you're on Arena, you see their avatar. But besides that, they're not really like a person, right? And it's very easy to disconnect. I think it's important to check back in and be like, hey, they're a person with with thoughts and feelings and plans, and they did that thing, or, you know, they made that play, or, you know, they capitalized on your mistake, and to process that and accept it and remember that, you know, they're not some nameless being out there that's in the ether, right? Like, it's a real person with real things, and hold yourself accountable a bit for that. Yeah. So,
which I think is why, I mean, we see those, like, Moto screenshots all the time of just, like, people being really salty and saying, like, obscene things. And I think, like, at least for the most part, that is just because it's either, like, one, anonymous, like, you're more likely to say stuff when no one knows it's you, and two, you're not, like, sitting across from someone. You can't, like, see their reactions.
Hurting them, or, you know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just like you said, like, you're talking to almost a computer, because you forget that you're not actually sitting across from, but, like, you're playing against a real person.
Yeah. I think it was Lee tweeted something along the lines of, like, when I'm at an event, it's like, God, they made such a weird play. What did they have? They clearly are doing something, right? And then if he's playing on Magic Online, he's like, what an idiot, you know? And then he just, like, plays in their thing. Or it is different, right? Like, we process it differently because we don't feel like we're in the same setting, but we need to kind of work towards processing it in a similar way, I think. So that's kind of it for the tilt episode and helping with it. I hope these things are kind of helpful. Allie, if you have any last words you want to say on this topic.
No, I think we hit on a lot today.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, hopefully y'all enjoyed this episode and this was helpful for you. Feel free to reach out if you want to talk about it or ask questions. You know, if you're a patron of the show, you have access to the Discord, which you can go to patreon.com/ccmtg. There's like a general area, you know, you can free to continue this conversation over there. And that's kind of a perk of being there, is having this place where even if you're not having the conversation with us, you're having it with just other listeners who might be in the same spot as you. You know, it's like a community to find other people that are going through and leveling up and doing similar things that you are. Allie, if someone wants to find you, where could they go?
You can find me at twitch.tv/mythic_mebo or Twitter at mythicmebo.
You can find me at twitch.tv/themasonclark. And you can find me on Twitter at masoneclark. And you can find us both each and every week here on Constructive Criticism at CCMTG on Twitter to get updates for when the show goes live. And make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast feed. Thank you all so much, and we'll see you all next week for another episode of Constructed Criticism.